Good morning and welcome to the table. It is good to see everyone this morning, and it is good to be part of Pride Week. We had a gathering, out at the farm. And thank you, Denise and Stephen, for gathering people together. I think we have a picture of something out there. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah. And then, Jean, you just got here on time from... You do Davis Pride, but she moves around and she hugs people as a mom. And that's pretty great. I think that's pretty great, too. So welcome to the table. We are grateful that you all are here. We're going to begin worship, move into a prayer and another song, and we'll be standing for all that in just a moment. Sometimes you get to pick music that you really, really love. So some of you, you may have never heard of this song. Some of us sang it as children in Sunday school all the time. And so I invite you to rise as you are able in spirit or willing. Here we go.
Children, go where I send you. How shall I send you? I'm gonna send you one by one, one for the little bitty baby was born, born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send you. How shall I send you? I'm gonna send you two by two, two for Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby was born. Born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send you. How shall I send you? I'm gonna send you four by four, four by the four that stood at the door, three for the Hebrew children, two for Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby was born, born in Bethlehem. Send you, how shall I send you? I'm gonna send you six by six, six for the six that couldn't get fixed, five for the gospel preacher, four for the four that stood at the door, three for the Hebrew children, two for Paul and Silas, one for the itty bitty baby was born. Stood at the gate, seven for the seven came down the pattern, six for the six that couldn't be fixed, five for the gospel preacher, four for the four that stood at the door, three for the Hebrew children, two for Paul and Silas, one for the itty bitty baby, one for the itty bitty baby, one for the itty bitty.
How easy it is to worship our image of God instead of God. The Trinity is not a doctrine, it's a cone. It's a way of slipperyizing our images of God. God is this, the opposite of this, and none of the above. God is more than one thing, and the one thing. God is beyond our knowing or pinning down, yet known, revealed, embodied. The intimate beyond, the infinite companion, and the immediate arising. God is mostly mystery and all love. Your understanding is fog. Your certainty is noise. Your belief is irrelevant. All there is love. Let the loving mystery confuse you, the unknowable know you, and the unspeakable do the speaking. God, the lover, the beloved, and the love flowing, holds you. Let it be so.
Good morning. My name is Debbie Edgar. I serve on our administrative board with an area focus on finance. Sarneet Prasad, our Sunday morning coordinator, is away in Fiji visiting family, and in his absence, I am grateful to welcome you this morning to worship both in person and online. We welcome those gathering online at thetable.live. Our online host today is Kara Tupi. Today's bulletin is available with QR codes for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. This morning, we transition from godly play to summer children's activities. While we have an amazing team of godly play teachers who watch lovingly over our children at both 9:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. throughout the school year, we hope to have other parents and adults help with offering both art and outside play for children throughout the summer. A link is on our website, and we hope you'll sign up now. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please text the word new to the number on the screen. When you feel ready to connect with others and learn more about the table, our co-pastors lead a series called Growing in Faith, which is designed to help newcomers learn more about how we share in life together here at the table. Our next Growing in Faith will be offered on June 9th and 10th in a retreat-style format here at the table, and registration is now full for that offering. We invite you to stay tuned for dates for the next Growing in Faith series, which will be shared on our website, thetableumc.org. I invite you now to stand in body or spirit as our music team leads us in a song of prayer from Josh Garrels called Pilot Me.
Good morning and welcome to the table. I'm glad I wore my Hawaiian shirt after that song. I feel like I'm on the beach. That's great. My name is Bob Martinez, and as Debbie Edgar so beautifully put it, this morning we transitioned from offering godly play on Sunday mornings to the summer children's activities at this service. So I want to invite now our children to move from the sanctuary to the A-frame with our volunteer leaders as our musicians help us with some walking music. So I won't repeat what Debbie said because I'm sure you heard it very clearly. I do want to say, though, and underscore this point, that we invite teens and adults to help this summer by signing up for a date for yourself on our website to help out. Thank you so much. Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, and I'll be sharing an adapted version of the First Nations version, an indigenous translation of the New Testament, and we invite you to follow along. Now, the remaining 11 of his followers journeyed to Circle of Nations, Galilee. There at the mountain where Creator sets free, Jesus had told them to go, they met with him. When they saw him, they gave to him the honor that he deserved, but there were some who still doubted. All the authority of the spirit world above and the earth below has been given to me, he told them. So now I am sending you into all nations to teach them how to walk the road with me. You will represent me as you perform the purification ceremony with them, initiating them into the life of beauty and harmony represented in the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit. You will then teach them all the ways that I have instructed you to walk in. Creator sets free, then looked into their faces with great love and affection. He lifted his hands toward them and spoke these final blessing words over them. Never forget, he said, as he began to rise up into the spirit world above. I will always be with you, your invisible guide walking beside you until the new age has fully come. Aho, may it be so.
And I invite us into a spirit of prayer. God, may your spirit be with us and pilot us in this very moment. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be in alignment with your hope for this moment. May you move freely through or even in spite of the words shared and call us to be the people you long for us to be. Amen. The reading that Bob just shared, this is a new version for many of us, but at least I grew up in a tradition in which this particular text, at least one line of it, was central, foundational, you could say, to how we were called to practice our faith. This is the text that's being shared through the Global Christian Church as part of the lectionary. It's a three-year cycle that the church uses. And in the parachurch ministries of my teen years and my young adult life, the Great Commission, as it's called, was foundational, especially this line, Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. The traumatic history of conquest in the name of Jesus inevitably means that some of us feel, in just hearing those words read aloud, resistance rising up inside of our bodies. Some of us might restrict in some places, maybe even shut down. The risen one says, go. And having talked with many of you, I know you prefer to say hard pass. I'm going to stay. The notion of the Great Commission might lead some to imagine the risen Christ barking orders as a triumphant multitude of followers looks on, as one theologian says, The risen one is speaking to a vast multitude, at least in our imaginations, rank upon rank, stretching to the horizons as far as the eye can see. And you can hear it in the background, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir humming the Hallelujah chorus. But I've actually found myself connecting with a different image of what maybe this felt like for those earliest followers. Way back in the summer of 2019, can you remember that far? Pastor Linda and I led an amazing intergenerational team of folks from our community of faith on a trip across the country to Princeton Theological Seminary. We had been working together as an intergenerational team for an entire year. We were working with 11 other churches from across the country, and our task was to reimagine ministry with teens, with young people. And we visited, when we made our way, there we are at the Farmanary. The Farmanary is part of Princeton Seminary. It was planted as an educational space that is also a small-scale regenerative farm where students go to learn theology as they put their hands in the dirt. We had no idea that might become the seed that would be Table Farm right now. And after we worked hard alongside those folks, I love Denise's selfie here. That's in the chapel at Princeton Seminary where Gus stepped forward to deliver a teen, young version of Gus, like ninth grade probably, version of Gus, delivered the message at Princeton Chapel. Like, there are pastors who would like long to move into that space. And this 14-year-old just stood up there and preached. He also played the drums. He's a young person of many skills. After we worked hard alongside other folks, that's part of our team right there, we made our way on a train from Princeton into New York City. And I think here we might be at Grand Central Station, but what I want to draw your attention to is the bottom there. You can see the hashtag, I am Stonewall. And so many of us know what that hashtag signifies or means. It's trending, I suspect, this moment as we move into Pride, a reminder of Pride's resistance history, not just as a celebration, but as a call to freedom and to being together in ways that lead to new life. Once we were back in New York City, Linda and I actually surprised our whole team. We had in the place where we stayed a puzzle that they put together, and they learned through putting that puzzle together that they were going to go to see a Broadway show, Dear Evan Hansen. Look at that beautiful team. For those that aren't familiar, Dear Evan Hansen is a Broadway musical. It premiered in 2016. It went on to win 6 Tony Awards. It shares the powerful story of Evan Hansen. Evan is a high school student, and Evan struggles with severe social anxiety, like so many of our teenagers, especially on this side or wherever we are amid pandemic. It shares the story of how he yearns for connection so profoundly that he actually fabricates a story about a deceased person at his school to try to get closer to other folks. And then it takes us in to the realities that our young people live with every day, with the tensions of social media, the complexity of what all that brings, of both feeling connected and profoundly disconnected at the very same moment and same time. And so we're thrilled to have Colette back with us. She is just finished her first year down at USC's School of Cinematic Arts. But instead of helping Corey, as Colette has before with our team, she's diving right in alongside Omari, like no pressure at all, to help lead music this morning. And she's going to help us, I hope, all of us, to set a different image of what the context may have been like, some of the feelings that maybe were around the disciples at the moment that they were experiencing the risen one. And so for context on the play, Dear Evan Hansen, it opens with a mom. Colette's gonna play that part. And the mom is trying to embolden her timid child, Evan, played today by Omari. Emboldening Evan to venture into the frightening world of high school. And so Evan's therapist has had him writing letters to himself to try to build up his own courage and his own way of being, thus the title, Dear Evan Hansen. So that's enough of me saying it. This is a song from that opening scene.
Have you been writing those letters to yourself? Dear Evan Hansen, today's going to be a good day, and here's why.
I started one.
Those letters are important, honey. They're going to help you build your confidence.
I guess.
Can we try to have an optimistic outlook, huh? Can we fuck up just enough to see the world won't fall apart? Maybe this year we decide we are not giving up before we've tried. This year we'll make a new start. Hey, I know. Why don't you go around today and ask the other kids to sign your cast? How about that?
Perfect.
I'm proud of you already.
Oh, good.
Another stellar conversation for the scrapbook. Another stumble as I'm reaching for the right thing to say. Well, I'm kind of coming up empty, can't find my way to you. Does anybody have a map? Anybody just happen to know how the heck to do this? I don't know if you can tell, but this is me just pretending to know. So where's the map? I need a clue.
So for those of us that imagine the risen one barking orders to a huge multitude that stretches across the expanse of the sky around, I want to invite you to instead hold an image of a mom trying to talk to her frightened child about the terrifying world that they're going into by just getting on a bus to go to school. Tom Long says this in a commentary about this text. Matthew's challenge was, how can we get the provincial and timid followers of Jesus of Nazareth to venture out into the frightening world with the gospel? This is actually the key to understanding this passage that the church calls the Great Commission. He goes on to say that this scene is one of near comic irony. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. But nothing in the surrounding seems to support this claim. Jesus is on an unnamed mountain in backwater Galilee. He's with a congregation of 11. There was 12 yesterday. And some of those, it says, are doubtful. They're not even sure why they've come to worship that day. So if you get tied up in doubt, you're not sure why you're in worship sometimes, maybe you're not alone. Does anybody have a map? Does anybody have a map? Maybe something like Evan's mom. Jesus actually doesn't hand over a detailed map to the frightened people before him. Yet it feels to me like he is as hopeful and encouraging as the best mom the world could possibly imagine. Evan's mom looks upon this frightened teen, and Jesus looks upon 11 exhausted followers. They have been walking. This is just a few days into the experience of what it's like to have their leader's life taken by empire through crucifixion. And we learn that upon hearing this news, they journey with others. And some translations tell us that the religious leaders pay a lump sum of money to the guards to keep the story quiet. But the original Greek is really ambiguous, so it may be that these disciples themselves were part of collecting the money to give to those soldiers to keep things quiet. But either way, what we know is they journeyed all the way to this unnamed mountain in backwater Galilee, and it's a 3-marathon length distance to get there. Just one marathon makes me tired. 3 marathons to get there. And in that, the risen one says, go. I'm sending you into all nations to teach them how to walk the road with me. Creator sets free, then looked into their faces with love and great affection. What a different image it is to read the Great Commission from that stance. Looking into their eyes with love and great affection. They've walked 3 marathons. And they'd not experienced the risen one until this moment. Because they're being sent not just into the Jewish communities that they've known, the Jewish communities that God so loves, but they're being sent beyond what they've known. No wonder the risen one looks with love and affection. The risen one is calling them. From now on, you're going to sit at that high school table with Evan with people that don't look like you or talk like you or think like you. They're going to need some love and affection in the eyes to feel emboldened in that moment. And the only map that the risen one offers is something like this. You will represent me, this is the First Nations version, as you perform the purification ceremony with them. These folks that you don't yet know, that are beyond your comfort, initiating them into the life of beauty and harmony, represented in the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Holy Spirit, you will teach them to all in the ways that I have instructed you to walk in. And what are those ways? Well, the most important of them, love God and love your neighbor. That's the map. That's the map that the risen one gives at the end of Matthew's gospel. It's a scene that feels less to me worthy of a Broadway curtain call and more like an opening song in an off-Broadway production. No wonder sometimes we sing with Evan's mom, "Does anybody have a map? Anybody maybe know how the heck to do this?" I don't know if you can tell. This is just me pretending to know. We came away from Princeton. It was like our version of being those exhausted followers. It was like walking 3 marathons. And we found in that time this vision being affirmed and called to bake and break bread alongside others as a way to create community around a table. And so we came inspired and from that space, wondering about what it would look like to transform a dated kitchen that's just down the hallway that dates all the way back to 1959 and to turn it into a commercial kitchen. Some of you know this, but in that old kitchen, we actually had a sticky note that we put over a power outlet that said, "Do not use, we'll catch fire." Don't address the issue, just put a sticky note on it. No one had a map for how to do this. Because we came back and we started to get ready to transform that kitchen through the incredible generosity of so many people in this community making gifts beyond our deep commitments to share to address deferred maintenance. I remember as we stood here and we talked about we needed to make bathrooms usable. We had really big dreams. Functioning bathrooms and a kitchen that didn't have a sticker on it that said it'll catch fire. And then global pandemic arose and nobody had a map. But we took our mission on the road. Go, Jesus says. So we started to grow vegetables alongside neighbors in Hollywood Park and to give those away through the South Sac Interfaith Partnership Food Closet. And then, not that long ago, the Catholic diocese that has rented that to us for $1 a year, incredibly amazing lease terms, they've decided to sell that land, and they're going to sell it to developers to create homes on that space. And so the farm is going to be knocked down, and it will become soon homes for people to live in so that the church and school there can address deferred maintenance. Turns out we're not the only ones that put sticky notes on power outlets that say don't use instead of addressing the real issues. Nobody has a map for how to move a farm. And This really incredible intergenerational team of young people and adults have been dreaming and wondering about what it could look like to relocate the farm. And so, thanks to Judy and others, we have one lead that feels really incredible, and we have a few others that we're still exploring as we discern, because we don't really have a map for how to relocate a farm. But Andy's ready to help guide us. She's been on our team for some time now, helping welcome people down to the farm and to shifts there to grow food alongside others to give away. And Nelson, it turns out, has actually moved to farm. He's an urban organic farmer, and he's ready to come alongside us to help us continue to find our ways. And Kara is coming alongside Andy with teenagers who are part of a fellowship and apprenticeship this summer to learn about sustainable agriculture, the farminary, and spirituality. We have a picture of some of those young people who are going to put their hands in the dirt at the farm and figure out how to do sourdough and learn about sustainability and God and the way God shows up through everyday things like baking and breaking bread, like growing and giving away food. See, staying close to the map with Jesus leads us to places that often feel really unexpected, actually. And that's true as we received Chloe's discernment that she needed to step back from all of the commitments with both Table Farm and Table Bread. And we didn't have a map for what to do with that unexpected news. Yet, what's often the case is the Spirit shows up when we least expect it and looks into our faces with love and great affection. And that actually happened for me and for Pastor Linda this week. We met a baker here at the church. We'd been texting with his team in San Francisco, and we weren't sure if anything would materialize. His name is Ezekwe Anderson. He's a baker in San Francisco at a bakery called Rise Up. He drove three marathons, you could say, here to Sacramento, some three marathons away. And we toured not a tired old kitchen, but a beautiful commercial bakery space with him. And we stood in that space. And the truth is that Linda and I have been feeling our own sense of exhaustion and dejection these last days, probably not unlike those tired disciples that were walking along. And Ezekiel's presence felt like the Spirit of God looking with love and affection. The tagline for Rise Up, you literally cannot make this up, people. The tagline for Rise Up Sourdough Bakery in San Francisco is, "Rise Up Bakery is honored to feed your soul." So here is some of Ezekiel's story in his own words.
Yeah, we started really small. One a day turned into two a day turned into four a day turned into, 12 a couple times a week. Next thing you know, I'm doing 20, 30 loaves a day, trying to figure out how to scale. Got up to about 100 a day in my house, people coming to my front door to pick up. Got into a couple stores, moved into a commercial kitchen, hired my first couple staff members, one on dough team, one to do office-y stuff. And now here we are. We're in like 20-something stores, delivered to your house, bunch of different farmers markets. So definitely had, you guys have had our backs, representing on Instagram. A lot of people found us. Got some good coverage, and now we're at a point where we've outgrown our one commercial kitchen, and now we're trying to make an actual bakery, put down roots.
Rise up. Change the world one beautiful loaf of bread at a time. Ezekiel and his team are wanting to put down roots, and they're wondering about doing that alongside of us here at the table. And I want to be honest, we don't have a map for this. And there are so many details that will need to be worked out. And we actually have other bakers that have reached out to us and said they'd love to come by. We can't be guaranteed that anything is going to take root. I don't think the disciples felt like they could be guaranteed much was going to take root in that moment either, in that unnamed mountain. But after dreaming for a few hours in the bakery that's down the hall on Wednesday, Ezekwe's team texted and they said, "We understand that you've been having like 30 loaves of bread on Sunday to share with folks that have subscriptions. And we know you had to put that on pause, so you didn't have bread last week. So we're going to send a person over with 30 loaves of bread. And we'd love for you to share those with folks outside." That was perfect timing. The parent of that child, please see me after worship. We will be talking more about how to make sure that works again. So we don't have a map for this, but we think some of our young people are here and they're down the hallway and they're going to have that bread outside, and you can make a gift here that'll support the farm and take home a loaf of sourdough bread from Rise Up. It'll be outside. Apologies, we don't know how to do this for people that are online. And then we have a few amazing baguettes that we're just going to cut up and we hope we can share and break bread outside of this space. Sometimes it feels like the scary truth that Evan's mom feels. Like we're flying by the seat of our pants. And sometimes the Spirit of God shows up, not in these like doctrinal ways on Trinity Sunday, but in relational ways, like what the Trinity is. Not an abstraction about it, but in relationships. And it's our sense that maybe that's something of what's happening right now. See, maybe we can actually never know, though, with certainty, whether a direction is truly of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes the Spirit shows up when things fall apart, and you feel exhausted, and you don't feel like you have either the resources or the strength to possibly find a way through. And it's my sense that that's some of what the disciples felt in that day long ago. And if it is or isn't, I know it's what I've been feeling, and maybe some of you have been there either now or at other moments too. Thomas Long says this to us. He says, "The very fact that the task is utterly impossible throws the disciples completely onto the mercy and strength of God. The work of the church cannot be taken up unless it is true that all authority does not belong to the church or its resources, but comes from God's wild investment in Jesus, the child, and the willingness of the child to be present always to the church in the Holy Spirit." So may the wild Spirit of God be our map and our map maker as we open up to possibilities of a future that we can't control, but God will unfold among us. And thankfully, we have these final words in Matthew's mostly unresolved gospel. "The risen one, Creator sets free, looked into their faces with love and great affection. Never forget, never forget," he said as he began to rise up into the spirit world above, "I will always be with you, your invisible guide, walking beside you until this new age has fully come." And the First Nations version adds this closing, stunning phrase, "Aho, may it be so." That's what amen means. May it be so. Aho, may it be so. Amen, amen, amen.
Yeah, this is all true. And really, ultimately, the map does lead us somewhere. It leads us to this table. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's comforting to be reminded, I think at least, that God looks into our eyes with great love and affection. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm in this state, I am rather vocal with not kind words for God. Because I want things to be clearer right now. But that's not what happens. What happens instead is we're thrown onto the mercy and the strength of God. And in that throwing, sometimes we realize and can understand how we stumble. And that's why we pause all the time on our map to the table. We pause to acknowledge those stumblings. So I invite us, as we are willing and able in spirit, or in body, to rise up. That man is 6'3". And the spirit, just the most gentle spirit, whew, calls us, not just from Z, but through God, looking on us as we stumble into this prayer of confession. So with courage and humbleness, let us join our voices to pray together. You call us to go, but we are afraid. You walk with us. Your spirit pilots us always. But we make ourselves the authority instead of moving to your wild rhythms. Forgive us, we pray. Amen. Friends, the mercy and strength of God, the hope of Creator sets free, who is Jesus, and the mystery that is the Holy Spirit, look upon all of creation, all of us, with love and deep and great affection. So may we trust that love and affection with our whole bodies and beings and souls. And may we trust our whole lives this day into that. Let's say amen.
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 And I invite us to join in the call and response that is the church's practice for recognizing the risen one in each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you. In the beginning, when all was chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God the sculptor, the painter, the creator, touched a swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky. And God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit began to grow ripe. And to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks in the skies, placing stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings made waves, and God reached to the sky, and things with wings took flight. And God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." And when everything else was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You're the one I've been imagining. You and everything around you, my beloved creation, is good." But it wasn't good for long. Because as God called the people to go, they said, "Stay." So God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out compassion and truth and boldness and beauty and placed it in a form that people might recognize, a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on earth to remind us of all that God has made us to be and to call us to abide in God's unfolding grace. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of
Jesus did all that he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other, but we couldn't accept that. We couldn't agree about it, and we became afraid. The principalities and powers lure the people of God to turn against the way made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus. And in the end, Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best, because the challenge, it was just too great. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them, and promises all of us, that he will never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with him. And like those long ago companions, we don't always understand the message Jesus brings to us, or what is coming and going and coming again means for us. And we can also, though, be grateful and sing the mystery that is our faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
On the night when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover meal. He took the bread and the wine, and he blessed them both, and he gave thanks to God. And he said, I'm sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather and remember me. Us into prayer together with words that were passed on long ago, have been shaped by the church and named the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Amen. Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered and over these gifts. Make these gifts your body and your love, and make us, through this feast, your body alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love, and we don't really have a map for you, but there will be people holding bread and cups of juice, and on the platter there will also be a smaller dish that has crackers with no gluten in them for those of us who need that. We invite you to remember always in this space there are persons for whom this is a life practice, but there are persons among us who have never done anything like this before. Some of us are in between all of that, working and breathing and listening for God's invitation. And so we honor that by watching over each other in love, choosing whether we'll move forward to a station or to the back of the sanctuary, choosing whether we'll take time to pray at one of the many stations that surround you, either kneeling or standing. You can also just stay where you are in the pew. That is A-okay as well. Finally, those of us who are gathered online, we want you to bring close to you your bread, whatever you are using, and your juice. Even though we are here in this room, we are gathered beyond this room in many, many, many places, in many, many, many forms. And so we together in this common union, as we find our way, know that we can't make a mistake. God's love and care looks upon us.
Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you all, and the cup of God's healing and forgiveness poured out for the whole world. Linda, this is the bread of life broken for you. Thank you. God, may your ways of beauty and harmony be shared across every difference in every place of your cosmos. May we be swept up to take our little part in your love story this day and all the days of our lives. Amen, amen, amen. We hope that each of you will wonder about what next steps God might have in store for you. Many of us make commitments to support the ministries of this community. We call those deep commitments, and we share generously, whether it's here or online, to help our community align with God's healing and justice and love on the loose in the world. There are shifts among us that you can sign up for on our website to join Andy and others down at Table Farm when you're ready to put your hands in the dirt. Outside, there is sourdough from Rise Up in San Francisco. And we invite you to stand and rise as you're willing and able. And our musicians are going to send us with a map.
You gotta move. gotta move. You gotta move. You gotta move, child. You gotta move. When the Lord gets ready, ready for you. You may. Baby lame, and you cannot walk. You may be mute, and you cannot talk. But when the Lord gets ready, ready for you, you gotta move. Oh, you gotta move. You gotta move. You gotta move.
I moved over too early. Linda always says you can't make a mistake. The risen one is actually ready, ready for you and the whole world to move in the beauty and the harmony and the love of God's rhythm. So go, go with the peace of the risen one this day into the world. Amen.
You gotta move. You gotta move. You gotta move.